Hey, everybody, let's talk about game time tickets. If you haven't noticed, basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas, so you need to see the view from your seat. You also need to all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about, so you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy. Comfy. I'm cozy. Cozy. I have zero blisters on my toes. Blisters. And that's because I wear Bombas, the softest socks, underwear, and t-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.
Play ball! This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Freddie Freeman, simply unstoppable!
The Rich Eisen Show.
In order to win a World Series game, you have to score a run.
That is gone! It's a grand slam! Gone! It's Labor Day.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Coming up, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman, actor and comedian Kevin Pollak. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic going to join us in studio. And then Kevin Pollak after him. Kevin's always got some great fun stories that light up our Instagram feed. No pressure. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. Phone lines are lit. We were asking in the 50th anniversary of the Rumble in the Jungle in Kinshasa, Zaire. Which event would you, if you could choose one in the history of sport? Would you want to go to the first marathon?
Like way back in ancient Greece? Like
the first
Olympics?
The first Olympics?
Yeah.
Let's go for even further back. Let's go to like the gladiator events at the Colosseum.
That might be a rough and tumble crowd. I don't know if I want to deal with that. You know what I mean?
I gotta be specific on what time I go back because a lot of these times might not be safe for your boy. So I gotta be very careful how far back.
Well, hold on a second. How about this one? Let's go to Dan in Austin, Texas. You're in the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Rich. Love the show.
Yes, thank you.
My event would be the Jesse Owens Olympics.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. It would be dangerous for for this guy right over here.
Everybody be able to attend. You know, but yeah,
Jesse Hitler Owens in attendance.
The Nazis would be pretty fun.
You know, that guy in the pink shirt. Without wearing it, I might stand out in that crowd.
We both wore pink today, Rich.
You're talking about Berlin, obviously the Berlin Olympics, right, Dan?
Correct. Yes, absolutely.
No doubt. That's a good one. Thanks for the call, Dan. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rich.
You got it. That's Dan in Austin.
That's a real good one.
That's a very good one.
Brandon in St. Louis. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's take your call. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
What's up, Brandon?
So mine's going to be a little weird. So I was born and raised in Wisconsin in January.
Okay.
So mine would be the Ice Bowl. Big Ooh. Packers fan. What's that Bane line from Dark Knight Rises? I was born in it, molded by it, the cold. So yeah, I would love that.
Yeah, bring the soup, bring the bouillon, right?
Absolutely.
Your thermos.
Does that mean were you at the Tom Coughlin game where his face froze?
No, I was not at that one, Brock.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Brandon in St. Louis. By the way, when he said that he was born in Wisconsin in January, I'm like, boy, he sounds like a grown man for that.
I was like, this past January?
This past
like
9 months ago?
He grew up
in a previous January.
Gotcha. I was
born in Wisconsin.
It's like, we got the baby.
That's where I'm like, yeah, right. My God. Fenster baby. Sounds like a grown-ass man. Wow.
That's the second time we've mentioned that. Like
that
Looney
Tunes reference right there? Maybe. Let's go to Jeff in Pasadena, California. What's up, Jeff? Pasadena.
Not the dog.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you there? Not the dog.
You there, Jeff?
We prefer things that don't get our hands dirty.
Uh-oh. It's just,
I don't think Jeff realizes he's on.
Okay.
I'm right here.
Oh, there you are.
You there, Jeff?
So I've got the greatest idea in the history of football.
Okay.
You guys ready?
Oh, give me a pen.
We're going to take the magical power of the NFL Players Association.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And take the upper tier of college football, however you want to define it. I don't care. I'm an NFL guy. And you're going to put the NFLPA in charge of this top rank of college football and give them a chance to develop these players in a way. Remember, one of Belichick's hates is, I just wanted the rules to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make the rules the same, or we can get these guys super ready for the NFL. Ooh. We don't need NFL Europe. We've already got it, as you guys said. Albert Breer was great.
Thank you. I appreciate it on his behalf.
Gentlemen?
Yeah.
Look.
Oh, did we lose him? All right.
Well, he's asking, like, what do we think about that idea?
Well, which is what? Like, have a G League? Create a G League or something like that?
Essentially, but it's also college football. It's kind of both. But let's say
keep college football the way it is.
Right.
Only we put the NFLPA in charge of the upper echelon and make it a much smoother transition.
Oh, my goodness.
So the top, like, 60 teams.
But they can't figure out their own house right now. So the NFLPA is going to go walk in there and help.
They take over.
You know when people are hoarders and they can't clean their house, so they got to have somebody else come in and throw the stuff out? Maybe that's what Jeff's doing.
Was it Marie Kondo?
Yeah.
He's got to come in there.
I just don't know.
You get six pieces.
I just don't know if you're going to go to Greg Sankey and go, hey, Greg, hear us out here with your multi-billion-dollar business that you're running there in the Southeastern Conference. Or, hey, Tony Petitti, that multi-billion-dollar business you're running in the Big Ten. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to come in. The NFL Players Association is not going to be in charge to figure your stuff out. It's going to be a college football playoff. And then all the kids that don't have pro football grades, then what? Like, what do you do for them? You know what I mean? Like,
they go play in the Mountain West.
Oh, my goodness. So all the kids that
to the Pac-2.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. I like the
Pac-2.
The Pac-2. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know what the answer is, but you shouldn't be seeing fourth overall picks in the draft suddenly, what now, a year and a half into his career, four games gets hurt, or is it three games gets hurt last year, Anthony Richardson?
Literally every game.
And then he's out the rest of the year, and then he comes back, and then eight games in of up and down play, a couple games that he misses because he's hurt again. Now he's benched again, and now he's sitting there and answering questions about what are you going to do? Honestly, 22-year-old kid thrust in this situation where
that's why,
suddenly.
That's why you don't let the owner decide who's starting week one, his rookie year.
Also, Rich, earlier you mentioned about development, like what's the best development. I think, obviously, maybe not even obviously, the best development is time.
No question about it.
Baker Mayfield. Number one pick. Where are we right now? Now he's on a roll. It took how many years for him
to
get to this point? Jordan Love, Sam Darnold.
We asked Jared Goff, how many years do you think somebody should get a shot? How many years does it take till you can actually develop as an NFL quarterback? He said six.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Richardson was made available to the media today and had this to say.
You know, of course, everybody knows the news. You know, I'm not starting this upcoming week. You know, of course, it hurts. As a competitor, you know, definitely don't want to be told that, you know, you're not the guy anymore, you know, for the upcoming week. But, you know, it's all good. I'm using this moment as an opportunity to grow and just learn from my mistakes.
He's 22 years old.
I think he'll be all right.
No, I think he'll be all right. Sure, you could say that. But last year was supposed to be the year he sits and watches and learns. Everybody there sings his praises. Whenever I go to the combine, anybody from the Colts organization, you mention his name and they light up. Good kid, great sensibility, great desire to be great. I mean, it's all there. Physical skill set, great. I mean, you look at his college career and he had one full year as a starter. And this is why, by the way, this is why the league in the lockout year of 2011 insisted on having some form of a rookie scale. Because in the old days, you know, in the Jamarcus Russell days, the Peyton Manning days, I'm going to go with a different, you know, levels of first overall success.
He might not have got taken that high.
Well, I'm just saying, back in those days, you, to choose somebody that high, had to pay that player the most handsome and generationally enriching contract you've ever given to any player in the history of your franchise. That's the way it used to be. And the league's like, well, we need some time to figure out whether you should be generationally enriched. So you've got to go through the crucible of actually proving it first. And now we're in a situation where, yeah, you have to prove it in order to be generationally enriched. But the standard of proving it is just have great regular seasons, make a playoffs, win one game in the playoffs, show that you've got some real great ability in terms of your physical prowess and your ability to lead and your ability to not get into trouble and be a great face forward athlete for the franchise. And you get $50 million a year now. And the number of people who are making $50 million plus who have not gotten to a championship game, I've lost track.
In a weird way, Rich, you bring up the new CBA from back then, which set the rookie scale. In a weird way, I think that has helped create the problem that we have now, because it makes it easier to get off of these guys because you're not paying them so much money. Even Jamarcus Russell started 36 games in college. So a lot of the guys back in those early days, they were 3-4 year college players who had a lot of playing experience that you were taking at the top of the draft and paying, like Matthew Stafford, Sam Bradford. These guys played a lot of football. Carson Palmer played a lot of football when they were taken at the top of the draft.
So I guess it's you better be careful taking somebody that has not played a lot.
Yeah. Buyer beware.
C.J. Stroud played a lot.
C.J. Stroud played a lot.
That's helpful. Bryce Young did too, right? Didn't he? Trubisky
he
did
was
not.
Behind Mac Jones.
Trubisky did not
play a lot. Drake May played 3 years at UNC. Like, I don't know. Just throwing that out there.
It's just seeing, you know, a 22-year-old having to stand up there and go, you know, I've been benched and it's tough to hear, but I'll learn from it and trying to, he said all the right things.
Yeah, Bryce Young, two years a starter.
I wish there was some sort of through line that you could say why somebody's successful and somebody is not. You just, again, in the NFL, if I'm an owner, I'm like, okay, so I draft somebody high. I don't really have any option except I've got to throw them out there in the games that matter for everybody else and for me and for my coaching staff and for my general managers. There's no other development other than getting him out there in these games. And if he's not ready, I've got to bench him. And there's nothing else to do for him to do except sit around and learn while he's benched. And then if these guys are good, but they don't win right away, or they don't go deep into the playoffs right away, but show that they're really, really good, the market that we've created means I still have to pay him $50 million on the upside. I don't know. I'd be sitting around in some of these meetings and can we come up with other ideas? We're smart people. That's what I would be doing.
You don't have to pay these guys $50
million. I know you don't. No one's forcing them. I get it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Phone lines are lit. Guess what? I got power rankings.
Oh, yeah.
Hit it.
This is my
power rankings. All right, let's do it. I have no choice but to do it.
Rich, you going to ask us how we're doing?
Oh, I know how you're doing.
Oh. I mean, just Chris does it.
How are you doing?
I feel great. Thank
are you guys doing well?
Appreciate you don't mean it. I'm not answering.
Yeah,
you don't mean it.
Because I come into this power rankings every single week in a defensive posture.
That's at YP.
Yeah. Yeah, you brought that upon yourself.
We're here to support you.
Number 10 on my power rankings list.
Better be good.
They're back on the list.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Definitely not.
What are you smoking, bro?
Definitely not.
Well, I'm smoking, bro. Give me some.
Depends.
Back on the list. They lead the NFC South, and they look pretty good doing it. The Atlanta Falcons are back on the list. Putting them right there.
That's it.
5-3.
10?
Yeah, 10.
They're the 3 seed.
I get it.
Okay.
I get it. They're 10.
Kirk's player of the week.
I get it.
Okay.
He gets it.
I get all of this.
I
also need to see. Let's see them go home. And this is a very winnable game against the Dallas Cowboys. Go win it. Let's see it.
10.
Let's keep going.
Wow.
They're 10. Because I still think at number 9 on the list, half game better in the standings. The reason why the Falcons are 3 is because 5-3 is good enough for them to lead their division. This team, once upon a time, led their division but lost 2 games in 5 days. 5-2 is not even good enough for second place in their division. The Minnesota Vikings are number 9.
Oh.
Dude. So they almost beat the Lions at home. They lose. Then they go on the road. Short week. Lose to a Rams team that gets everybody back damn near from Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua to Jackie Slater. You know, like they show up. It's the best Rams team that's been out there all year long.
A team that's rusty and hasn't played together.
And the Vikings draft them. They get them. They're number 9 on my list. I'm not yet ready to quit the Minnesota Vikings. They're down 5 spots, though. They're on the verge. Number 8, 1 spot up. I'm putting the Russell Wilson Steelers right here.
Oh.
Yep. They beat the Jets. They beat the Giants. Russ is smelting.
The smelt.
The running game's going. TJ Watt's going. The special teams are going. All 3 phases are going. 6-2. They lead the NFC, the AFC North.
That's low, too.
All right. I still think if the Houston Texans play them, the Texans beat them, which is why I'm putting the Texans right here at 7. They're at 1 spot. They're 6-2.
Who's playing wide receiver?
I understand that. Okay. I understand that. We'll see it on Thursday night against the Jets. The 6-2 Houston Texans should go in there and win that football game. If they don't, you know what they won't be? 7th on my power rankings. 6. Up 1 spot. Your Washington Commanders. Defensively, they are much more problematic than you are going to give them credit for coming into the season. That's for sure. And Jaden Daniels, the rare double dip of Offensive Rookie of the Year and MVP candidate. Don't see it a lot. A lot of people thought C.J. Stroud should have been that last year, and he wasn't when it all came down to it. Commanders are 6-2. They're 6th on my list. Let's go top 5. I like the Green Bay Packers, man. I like the way they look. I like the way that it doesn't matter if Love is banged up, goes down on the road, Malik Willis comes in and looks terrific. And they're coming up. They're drawing up plays. You know that play to Jaden Reed? That went down the sideline that basically won the game for him after the Jaguars came back on him in Jacksonville. That was a play that they were just like talking about on the sideline. Say, let's do it. And they uncork it and they beat the Jaguars with it. I love Matt LaFleur, dude. We need to talk about him for coach of the year.
Yes.
6-2.
3.
They are up 1 spot. They're in my top 5 right now in my power rankings. Down 1 spot. I'm going to basically chalk it up to you can't win them all, and you can't win them all, certainly in your division on the road. And they got Jameis'd. I'm putting the Ravens here still.
Oh, what?
I still think the Ravens are a top 5 team in the NFL.
They were going to be out.
Come on, dude. Get out of here.
Rich, they can't play defense.
I have a problem watching Kyle Hamilton drop that ball. He's, as you know, one of my adopted sons in the National Football League. He grabs that. Ravens are 6-2 and a 5-game win streak, and they're still feeling good about themselves. Who was the one who came? Was it Orlovsky came on and said he was head scratching about the play calls that they had on defense, just letting Jameis just like go for it? I don't think they'll do that again. The Ravens are 4 on this list. I still think they're a top 5 team in the NFL. Up 2 spots are the Buffalo Bills, baby. They've earned it. They have earned it. They lose 2 in a row after winning their first 3, and then they rip 3 in a row off again, and they go into Seattle in a rainstorm, and that's usually where crazy-ass things happen. Instead, they just punked the Seahawks to the point where Geno Smith is saying, I thought I was on the road. Can you imagine?
I heard that happen. They're number three. Now, go back and forth here. The Lions look terrific. They are just eviscerating everybody right in front of them. They put a 50-burger on the Titans.
In three quarters.
Yeah. Jared Goff is playing at an insanely high level. Ever since Aiden Hutchinson went out, they still haven't skipped much of a beat on defense, and obviously we'll see how that plays out over the final 10 weeks of the season for them. But I'm still keeping them at two because there's a two-time defending Super Bowl champ that is the only undefeated team remaining, and they're 7-0, and I'm putting the Chiefs here, and it doesn't look pretty, but the Chiefs do exactly what your Patriots used to do. Situational football beat you up. Doesn't look pretty, doesn't matter. We still have the best quarterback maybe we got a Mount Rushmore quarterback, you don't. We got a Mount Rushmore tight end, you don't. We've got a defensive player of the year stallion in the middle of our defense. Most likely you don't, and Chris Jones. And they just keep adding, and they keep getting better. And every single time you think we can get them, by the end of the day, you look up at the scoreboard and go, how did that happen? Well, because it's the Chiefs. And that's my power rankings for week number 9. The only team that was on the list that went off it were the Bears. Dropped them off.
The Bears.
So, that's my power rankings.
Yeah.
You'd have the Ravens off the list. You really wouldn't put the Ravens in the top 10 in the National Football League right now, Chris.
They didn't play like it
last
week.
Well, I mean, that happens from week to week. Yeah. You go on the road and your division rival beats you. It happens.
I think Denver might get them. So then maybe Denver might finally get a sniff here.
Okay. That's my power rankings right there.
No Eagles.
That's right. I'm not there yet. Still not there yet.
I mean, they made your MVP look like a...
I know. I'm just still not there yet.
Wow. Okay.
I put the Falcons there. They're leading a division. I'm going to put a division leader on the list. I got to.
I mean, the Eagles have the same amount of losses as their division leader.
Dude, I get it.
All right. I'm just using logic.
I'm not saying these are not worthy of pushback, but it's also proof why I entered this with a defense posture. Let's go to Jeff in West Virginia. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, Rich. Great show. Really enjoy it.
Thank you, sir.
And a great topic today. I tell you what, if I could choose one thing, I would have been on the back nine at Augusta in 1986.
Oh, Jack.
86, Matt. Jack. Really good. It's a good
one. Roared again and one last time. Record 18th major, sixth green jacket. Man, to be there, his son caddying for him.
Oh.
And to look, I think it was 15. I think it was on 16 when he looked at Jackie and said, "How far do you think a three would go here?"
I think
15.
I think that's 15, right?
Yeah, right, that's the par five.
I think
it was 15. I think so. Yeah.
15, right? And then, if I'm not mistaken, 16. He on the par three, he hits his tee ball, and the legend is that his son, who is the caddy, says, "Be right."
Oh yes,
as he's picking up his tee from the ground, he says, "It is."
Yes.
Right.
I remember that now.
Right, Jeff. Like that's the story. You know, be right, and he goes, "It is." as he unpegs his tee,
it's the slope
and
comes
to
down.
Be on the course and other players and the roar is just picking up, and they know something. Mm. And to see the leaderboard of the day still old fashioned. They're posting numbers by hand, and the Bears coming.
Love it.
It would have been great to be there.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. That's a great call. Great one, right?
That's
there.
A really good
Jeff
one.
Jeff in West Virginia. That's a very good one of those. Again, our topic is on the 50th anniversary of the Rumble in the Jungle. Which event would you say, if you could wave a wand, that you could have been there for? That's a good one
And Jeff is right. Jack did Eagle 15.
And then he birdied 16, right?
Yeah.
That's the and then 17 he did,
yes sir.
Yes sir.
Yeah.
He birdied that one too, right?
Yeah.
Come on, right? Get out of here. I do love that one.
I'm watching the shot at 16. He hits it, it's in the air, and he doesn't even look at it. He just goes down and picks up his tee, and it lands like 3 feet from the hole.
And the legend is that either his son, the caddy, or somebody said, "Be right." And as he goes to pick up his tee, he goes, "It is." Can you imagine? You have that ability.
No, I can't even imagine.
Oh, it is. I got this. Oh, yeah. The roars in the crowd. And that's why Nance, who was the lead guest for What the Football with Susie and Amy this year, said that I think Susie asked him if you could choose between the Masters and the Super Bowl for the last broadcast you do for CBS. He chose the Masters.
Yeah.
He chose the Masters.
God, I love the Masters.
The Masters is amazing.
Mm. By the way, Mike Pereira with Susie and Amy and What the Football. We're going to play this later on. He thinks replay assist is making officials worse. That's what he said.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to.
I know. I can't.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. We'll
I want to hear that one.
That's going to be top of hour three. But let's take a break. Bruce Feldman's here in person, everybody. Don't go anywhere. We're talking some college football with Bruce when we come back. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5x membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. Bruce Feldman here, everybody, from Fox Sports and The Athletic. We've been talking, yeah, that's worthy of a round of applause.
Oh, thank you for that.
We have been talking all day about, because it's the 50th anniversary of the Rumble in the Jungle, okay. What sporting event, if you could wave a wand and go to, if in any time. Which college football game, if you could wave a wand and go to, that you didn't go to or you would want to go to, which one
would be? College football game. That's a good question. I would have thought about, this is not what you asked, but this is like, sure. I mean, you and I are pretty much the exact same era. I was a little kid when Reggie Jackson hit 3 home runs in the World Series against the Dodgers. I don't know, we were like first, second grade, somewhere around there. I do remember getting to stay up to watch, even though we had school the next day. And I think that would have been awesome to have been at that game.
Yeah, 1977, I was 8.
Yeah, so I would have been roughly the same.
Yeah, but any college football one?
College football game, you know, I feel like I've been fortunate enough to be at most of the ones I would have liked to have been at in retrospect. I'm trying to think of something like historically that would have...
Band on the field, Cal Stanford.
That would have been crazy. It's just that game around it wouldn't have been like, it would have been whatever. Maybe the Doug Flutie.
Good one.
The game against Miami Thanksgiving weekend for BC. The game that has come up, and it's interesting because like somebody interviewed me for this week because you have Mahomes Mayfield again. Like I was a sideline reporter when that game was just insane. That wasn't like two top 10 teams. Oklahoma was pretty good and Texas Tech wasn't. But in retrospect, it was such a wild night to be there for that. But I, you know, maybe the Flutie game, just because such a game of legend as it was. And it was a wild game back and forth. You know, I would say probably there. I'm sure there's like, you know, some game that I have no idea what it would have been like to be at the tie game, the Michigan State Notre Dame game. You know, of the Duffy Doherty era of Bubba Smith in the 66, I think it was. But
never know, Bruce Feldman.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, those are all good. Or one of the 10-year War Bow versus Woody games, you know, or anything Paul Bear Bryant.
Man, I feel like I saw the best. Like, if you're a Michigan fan, the best Michigan game, again, there's people who are much older than me or Michigan fans. But when they went in there after they beat them the first time, and it was 2 years ago, and you're banged up. Blake Horms barely can go. You know, they had a bunch of other guys injured. Uh-huh. Donovan Edwards has those two really long runs, and be on the sideline and hear the Michigan players, you know, Sainer Still, Michael Barrett, hear how they were talking about Ohio State players and the Ohio State toughness or lack thereof compared to them. You know, just to see the fan reaction in Columbus that day. Mm. Like, if you were a Michigan fan, to me, that would have been hard to top.
Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show from Fox Sports and The Athletic. Let's talk about the here and now for the Ohio State. Ohio State 4 at Penn State 3. Is that where you're going? You're going back to,
yeah.
You're going to Happy Valley?
Going to Happy Valley. Excited about it. You know, like, both teams are not like, it's a top five matchup yet. Ohio State, we had them last week, and they really struggled against Nebraska, who, by the way, got beat by like 50 the week before
by Indiana. Yeah.
So, you know, Ohio State is banged up on the O-line. They struggled to run the ball. I still think they're super talented and they can win the national title. They're really good on defense. Mm-hmm. You got Penn State. I think from what I heard that Drew Aller is expected to play. They're optimistic, at least at this point of the week, that he will play. But they'll play the backup a lot, Bo Prabula, because he's a more dynamic runner in what they do. But neither coach, especially James Franklin, but neither coach has done well in big game top five matchups. I mean, the records are really bad. And if you're looking at it as a Penn State fan, if you're like, man, if we're ever going to beat this team, it's not like Ohio State's bad, but Ohio State did not look good last week at all.
Well, so. Will Howard, the quarterback, had an interesting soundbite. Let's play it and get your reaction to it. This is what he had to say about playing Penn State this week.
I'm stoked. I cannot wait. It's going to be a homecoming for me. I grew up a Penn State fan. I wanted to go there my whole life. They didn't think I was good enough, but I guess we'll see next week if I was.
Wow.
Ooh. What do you think?
Sign me up. This is good stuff, right? You got a Pennsylvania kid coming back home who, you know, he's had a really good career, won a Big 12 title for K-State. You know, he's played pretty well. I mean, talking to, like, we did a big story on The Athletic just that went up today about talking to coaches who played both. And he was good against Oregon. He was good against Iowa, and Iowa's a tough defense. They're super well coached. And so I think he has it in him. You know, I do feel like they have to unlock the run game. The thing that would concern me if I was an Ohio State fan is Penn State has super twitchy defensive linemen. Abdul Carter, I'm not saying he's Micah Parsons, but he's of that ilk, of that kind of explosiveness. And Ohio State's offensive line, that is the weak spot right now. So fortunately, you have a big quarterback who is pretty mobile. And they do a lot of funky stuff, right? You'll see the tight end, you know, you'll see 44 line up all over the place. I'm fascinated to see how this plays out. Cause I mean, I know Ohio State lost to a good Oregon team in a tough place to play. Coming out of that, they were still my pick to win the national title. They did, you know, my knees buckled after watching them a little last week though. We'll see what Ryan Day's team has this week on the road.
And the fascinating thing is, as we're watching these two teams play it out, right, and Oregon's in the big house, we chatted with Kurt Cignetti yesterday. We got him on the program. And, you know, honestly, want to make me feel like, you know, I was just bust straight through a brick wall. And what Indiana's doing is real. And the next 4 weeks, you know, they've got Michigan State, and then they go have Michigan go into their house. Then they go to Ohio State, and normally that's one of those Ohio State, well, you know, we'll just stay healthy best we can because we got the Michigan game the next week. That could be for a Big Ten championship game appearance, right?
Like, absolutely. And don't underestimate Indiana. We had them against Nebraska where they were just two steps ahead of the Cornhuskers. They just look... They execute. They're really well coached. I mean, they just are sharper. They just look like they're one step ahead of the teams they're playing. you know, and they, Kurt Cignetti brought a bunch of really good players from JMU with him. Like the kid who had two picks last week and won a pick six, Pons, he's a, you know, he's not a tall corner, but he's a super athletic kid. Mm-hmm. He is a playmaker. They have speed on defense. I think that's the thing that surprises some coaches when they play Indiana. It's like, ooh, they're a little faster than we thought they were. You know, and I think Cignetti has good coordinators. You know, the other Mike Shanahan, who's done a really good job, and Bryant Haynes is the DC. He's put together a good staff, and I just feel like they are really dialed in.
They are. What other games are you looking forward to this weekend, Bruce?
You know, I'm interested to see as we come out of like how this is. You got Florida, Georgia. Florida had a nice, you know, like. I give Billy Napier a lot of credit because he's on the hottest seat in the country and he has battled and they have not quit on him at all. Now they have four, you know, they have five games left. One of them is against a bad Florida State team. The other four are against like top 15 caliber teams. Mm-hmm. He needs to upset one of them. I mean, good luck if it's going to be Georgia, but because I think that's the toughest of the four. But, you know, I want to see how competitive Florida can be with them. You know, we had a huge game last weekend that proved to be kind of, you know, the wild one of the weekend, the most impactful, where I'm on a flight home from Columbus and I'm watching LSU is up by like 10 or two touchdowns on A&M and the Wi-Fi goes out for like 20 minutes. And then I'm watching a different game. I kind of gave up on the game. Then I'm looking, I'm like, wait a minute, A&M's now up 11? How did this happen? And then you watch them and A&M was just a more physical team. Mike Elko, big credit to him, the first year head coach at A&M. He's done a fantastic job. They're playing two quarterbacks. You know, the backup came in and looked great. I mean, I want to see how these teams kind of come out of that game because right now I feel a lot of confidence in Georgia because I still think they're Georgia. We saw them get after Texas.
They sure did.
Still think Texas is a really talented team. But then who we believe in the SEC as, you know, one of the top three teams? Is it A&M with a really good defense and a really well coached team and can really run the football? You know, is it LSU who looked like they wilted a little bit last week and they didn't run the football and they, you know, put too much, I think it was too much pressure on Nussmeier, the quarterback. Are we feeling like Alabama can bounce back? They didn't look good against Tennessee. Tennessee might have the best defense of all of them. You know,
well, Kentucky Georgia. Against Tennessee, right? You got a Kentucky team that lost by one to Georgia, and
but hasn't beat anybody else other than Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, right? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So they bring their giant slaying ability. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff up against the wall here. What else? I mean, Georgia, Florida. That's basically the one.
That is, right? You know, a headliner game right now. You know, and I think what will be interesting, you know, like Notre Dame had a big win last week. You know, we've talked a decent amount on this show about Navy and Army resurgence, especially Navy. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame just hammered them, right? And so, you know, quietly, it was a very good week if you're a Notre Dame fan because two things happened. One, they beat a top 25 team convincingly. And two, their win in week one at A&M now looks way better. Because A&M, you know, is at the top of the SEC, essentially, and they're a top 10 team, and Notre Dame went in there and beat them. You know, that's a really good win. People, you know, it's funny how we, like, look at the schedules and be like, oh, schedule's not going to look that good. Maybe this team. And then, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was like, oh, Army and Navy are ranked. Maybe that's going to be good because USC is not that good. Well, right. Now the A&M win is going to carry a lot more weight.
So then who are the teams that we need to look at in November here to make a nice run at that 10, 11, 12 seed possibilities for the college football playoff?
Well, you're definitely looking at Boise. They had a nice win on the road at UNLV. Mm-hmm. You know, Ashton Gentry's a legit Heisman contender.
He sure is, isn't he?
He's fun. Even, you know, like they get after him. He breaks tackles. He gets hard yards. Last week was 130, and he had to, I'm not saying he didn't have to work for it before, but he was grinding it out. And I think he's showing you everything you need to see if you're an NFL scout. They're right in there. I think we need to see what else comes out of the AAC. Obviously, Army. I don't think just because Notre Dame beat their arch rival as convincingly, that doesn't mean Army doesn't have a chance. But they're there. I think you look at some of these other schools now, we're going to find out a lot more, hopefully about the ACC. You know, Clemson is bounced back from that bad loss to Georgia. Miami keeps winning. Pitt keeps winning. Sorry, Brockman. Obviously, Pitt.
Yeah, that one left a mark.
Devastating.
Yeah, it was pick six all over the place.
That was awesome.
Then you have like teams like, you know, SMU that are hanging around a one loss team. I mean, those are the teams that it's like, okay, I went into this thinking there'll be four SEC teams at least. That's what I thought initially. There will be four Big Ten teams. I still think there will probably be four Big Ten teams. I think there'll be four SEC teams.
So four Big Ten teams, we're talking Oregon, both teams playing each other.
Indiana.
And then Indiana.
Yeah, those would be the four,
Ohio State, guess. Penn State, Indiana.
Then you're sitting there looking at, you know, that takes eight. We're going to have one that's, we'll assume it's Boise for now.
Nine.
Notre Dame, that's 10. So you get one from the Big 12, one from the AAC. Right now there's two undefeated teams in both leagues, because you have Pitt and Miami. And on the other side of it, you have BYU and Iowa State. I don't know. I mean, there's going to be an interesting argument whether a potentially 12-1, let's say both teams are undefeated. I don't think that'll happen in the Big 12, but if it does, you have a 12-1 second, you know, runner up. Is that team going to get left out for a 9-3 maybe, or a 10-2 SEC team that doesn't have, you know, if it's BYU, if they're 12-1, they have not just a close win. They blew out K-State. You know, K-State's ranked. They beat SMU, and SMU is a one-loss team. They beat SMU at SMU. So they're going to have a resume that's good, but I think what's going to happen is the powers that be that sit in that room before the ESPN show on Tuesday nights are going to say, like, well, it comes back to the eyeball test. And even if Texas loses to Texas A&M,
yeah,
and Texas has no wins over ranked teams, you know, they lost by 15 to Georgia and whatever would happen in College Station.
Texas gets left out?
I don't think that's going to happen.
How is that possible?
I don't buy it, because I think it'll come back to the eyeball test.
Sure.
For the, you know, but like people.
It's not just the eyeball test in terms of what gets people to the television sets.
I wasn't saying that.
Now, they're saying that. I'm saying that, and that's, you know, that's part of this equation for sure.
You're saying it's not all on the up and up.
I'm not saying that. Now, TV you're show. Saying that. I'm saying that there is, when it comes down to it, a factor of who's going to watch and what, and whether that's, and that is a metric, certainly when there's partners that are paying through the nose for this sort of thing. You know, I think that that's,
what are you saying about my sport?
I'm not saying that about your sport. I'm saying it about our business. It's a business.
It is a business.
You know?
It is a business. Look, I think if you ask me point blank, is Texas one of the top 11 teams in the country?
They
I would say,
absolutely.
Yes, I would absolutely say that.
Isn't the question?
The question is going to be, you know, your alma mater did not do them any favors. Maybe it'll be 7-5.
alma mater's not doing me any favors, no. or any of my compadres right now.
But that was a dominant showing by the Longhorns. It's just, it's going to be a dominant showing against a team that's probably 7-5. We'll see what happens. Maybe they'll go to A&M. They're certainly good enough to beat anybody. And
right.
I would think they could, you know, that game is going to be must-see TV, especially the way things are kind of shaping up.
Let's take a break. Can I get you the end of the hour, or you got to run?
You can.
Okay, you sure?
Yeah.
Because you just looked at your phone. I want to make sure.
No, this is a call I want to take, but it's okay.
Go ahead, take it. Let's take a break. Go ahead. Take it. Okay. Take it. Back with Bruce Feldman in a sec. Hey, everybody. Let's talk about Game Time Tickets. If you haven't noticed, basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats, so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas, so you need to see the view from your seat. You also need the all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about, so you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. The caller there right now here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who is this person? Hello?
Hello, Rich. This is a guy that's not all that keen on French fries, but I want to tell you happy birthday.
Oh, my God. Is this
happy birthday to you. No, I'm going to sing a happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, old Richie. Happy birthday to you and a whole lot more. It is your old pal, Joe Willie. Roll Tide and go Jets name.
Joe, this is the greatest thing of all time. Thank you for doing this. How you doing?
Well, I'm a fan. I've known you for a long time, and all of a sudden you've lived a long time, and I hope you live a whole lot longer, too.
Oh, my God, Joe. You don't have no idea what this means to me right now to get a call from you on my birthday. You know, I mean, thank you so much. I don't even know how to say it.
As one of your fans, you've got millions of fans out there these days, man. So keep up the good work. I love listening to you.
Thank
you. And seeing you on occasion.
I appreciate that, you know, because, you know, I was born the year you won the Super Bowl, Joe. That's the year I was born.
That was a good year. You see that? That was a very good year.
It was a good year and a day in the life. It was a good year and a day in the life for sure. But, you know, I'd love to be able to not have to say that, right? I'd love to be able to talk about some other championship other than that, Joe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that may come about. So once again, man, I don't want to take your time up here much. I know you're talking about some important things. I love you. Happy
Thanks,
birthday,
Joe.
And I look forward to seeing you around campus.
All right, everybody. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. The phone call that Bruce Feldman was going to take, he took it, and then he's just like, I gotta run. And we're like,
gotta go. No,
you do you. We will do us, and that's appreciate Bruce Feldman coming on the program as he does every single Wednesday. Yeah. The team I was going to bring up to him saying, why not, just for you-know-whats and giggles, how about Prime's Colorado Buffaloes?
They got a real shot to win the Big 12.
Dude, here's the issue is that they're 4-1, Iowa State's 4-0, BYU's 5-0, and they don't play each other.
Oh, they need some help.
Kansas State is 4-1. You know, Colorado's also 4-1, so they're going to need some help.
Yeah.
They face four teams the rest of the way here. Texas Tech, Utah, Kansas, Oklahoma State. They're at Texas Tech this weekend. But they're 6-2, man. If the Colorado Buffaloes finish up 10-2 and do actually somehow wind up, you know, finishing up 8-1 and do wind up somehow playing for the Big 12 championship, you got to give it up.
Yeah, that's a great
year. For sure.
Year.
Like right now, they're in position to have vastly improved, bowl eligible here before they even hit November. You know, I always cape for him. Why not?
Agreed.
But you have to think that they won't be at large. They're not taking it the way Bruce just laid it out. They're not taking two Big 12 teams. They're not going to take the loser of the Big 12 championship to this party if there are other. If there are other, I guess, must-haves they have to add from other conferences.
Well, like Notre Dame.
And then Notre Dame is is sitting out there. But that would be the eyeball test, too. Let me ask you, if Colorado's ranked, is the 12th seed taking on the loser of the SEC championship game in that school's house? Are you tuning into that one?
Oh, man, that's fun.
That's what I'm saying.
That's fun.
That's why the eyeballs are going to, when he says, do you pass the eyeball test?
It's a TV show.
It is.
Yeah, of course.
Let's not kid each other. And he took it like, what are you saying about my sport? About it? I'm saying that this is a factor. It has to be a factor.
Yeah,
it's a TV. Because if these games are going to be going against, you know, other events, and you need people to watch, they're not doing it on New Year's Eve again, are they? Anything stupid like that, are they?
No, the quarterfinal games are on New Year's Day.
Mm.
The Rose Bowl is part of the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, you'd have to say, putting a team that everybody hears about and knows about as a 12 seed in somebody else's house, right? For a first round game.
I love that idea that they're doing that.
It's great. And just one last thing.
There is a New Year's Eve game.
There's one,
the Fiesta Bowl.
Well, I mean, that I get. I understand that.
Yeah. And then the three
is
other.
Is that a college football playoff game?
Yes, that's a quarterfinal.
Yeah, that's one of them.
It's one of the quarterfinals. The three other ones are on New Year's Day. Rose Bowl, Peach Bowl, Sugar Bowl.
And then the first round games are the week before.
Yeah, the week before.
Okay.
So Friday, December 20th is one game, and then there's three more on Saturday the 21st.
Hmm. Okay. Well, here's a scoop. What we just heard from Bruce Feldman is, remember there were some people saying, hey, if you have 12 college football playoff teams, it'll make the regular season worth less. Anybody feel that watching college football? You feeling that?
No, not at all.
TJ?
No, not really.
Right, where you're like, it doesn't matter if they win or lose, they're still making the playoffs. Certainly now that you're hearing, if Texas slips up one more time and suddenly they don't have any wins against any top 10, top 5, and they, you know, they have two losses, that they might be left out.
Yeah, I actually think when teams with one loss, like when Georgia played Texas, Georgia had one loss. If they lost that game, they're basically out unless they run the table and win the SEC. So it kind of like amps up these games, right, where teams have one loss.
So the stakes are still pretty high in the regular season,
I think,
right?
So, yeah.
Are we all in agreement on that?
Yeah.
And then we're also now trying to parse out who's left in, who's left out, and who's in with 12 teams going. That's still going to be quite a conversation, don't you think? Where somebody's really livid, pissed that they're being left out after a whole long season just because they do have two losses, right? Or the wrong,
one of the losses
is one of the so-called wrong losses.
Right. Just look at the SEC, Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss thought they looked like playoff teams at the beginning of the year and even early month in. They mm-hmm. all have two losses. They're not making it.
Well, I mean, if four SEC teams make it, you don't think they do? You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
We take a look at the SEC standings.
You got to put in two-loss Alabama or one-loss Indiana.
There's no question you take Indiana.
It's pretty simple. I win.
That's what I mean.
We're going to tell that guy he's not going after just only one loss, maybe to Ohio State?
Right.
In the horseshoe?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he can't. He's going.
Those guys are out.
So, it does matter, right? Whether who and those conference championship games? Now, that's the one. Will those matter?
Well, will the loser of that game, if it's a close game,
be left out, and suddenly now you are being left out because you had to play a game that was essentially meaningless?
Right.
Oh, you're making your conference championship games elimination games as opposed to letting them go and try and play for the championship.
Exactly, yeah.
I think we finally found where the weak spot of this whole system may be, but the other ones are not. They're not, you know, where it used to be, oh my goodness, we're not gonna have a regular season worth a damn, or we're just not going to have as much of an argument as to who gets in and who gets left out. Right. Alabama is going to – they got to run the table, don't you think?
They got to run the table now? And win the whole thing.
Because
I don't even know if they can.
I don't think four out of the Big Ten is going to be a problem for people. Indiana should go the way that they're playing. And if they win three of their last four, they should go. They should go.
Yeah, so they play Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, and Purdue. So you say they drop to Ohio State, they're 11-1, they're in?
I think so, even though that might not be good enough for them to play for the Big Ten championship. That might be their best bet.
It might be a good thing.
I know.
Right.
But I'm sure Indiana fans will be like, wait a minute, we can go to Lucas Oil and watch our team try and win the Big Ten? I think Hoosier fans would want to be all in on that.
Oh, yeah.
Penn State can almost eliminate Ohio State this weekend.
Dude, you're going to do this? You're going to get this done?
Oh, yeah.
I hope so.
How about that Will Howard soundbite?
State
stoked.
Because then you got Oregon and Penn State. They're in no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
No matter who wins or loses, right? Then 11-1 Indiana. And then Ohio State is kind of the...
I don't know.
Are they the last team in?
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Kevin Pollak's coming up, folks.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Baby S is giving me money-making moves in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to have one kid who's like, I want to just live in a box and do, like, artistic dancing and paint. Ocean's going to be like, it doesn't matter if I'm broke, Mom. I'm passionate about it. And Baby S is going to be the one that says, passion doesn't pay bills, Ocean.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.